certainly desire an interest in your prayer this morning. If you want to read with us, if you were here for Sunday school, just open your Sunday school books and read along with us in there. But if you'd like to read with us, it'll be in the second chapter of the book of Luke. And we're going to read there, and that's where my lesson text will come from. And I do desire that you would stay there and read along with us, but I need to set you up with a few more verses. And you don't have to turn with us there. You may if you would like to. If you want to wait till after service and get these verses, I will be more than happy to give them to you. But if you'd like to turn, you can flip with me. But Isaiah and the 9th chapter and the 6th verse. You know, this is almost similar to what our lesson in Sunday school was, but it was a wonderful lesson. Admittedly, I did not read the lesson before Sunday school, so I had no idea what the lesson was. And I thought, Bob Vanderpool has really put us preachers in a bad place this morning. So, it's like I said, it never grows old. You can hear it all day, every day, and it should never grow old to us. But I want to read the 9th chapter, the 6th verse in Isaiah, and I want to be able to set this up for us. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And I need to turn over one more place, if the Lord will be our helper, and read the 14th verse in the 7th chapter. It says, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And I know that each of us have heard this time and time again, but as I said, I'd like for you to listen as though you've never heard it before, ever at all. Most of us, I would say, probably have a time and a place where God has saved us. So without a doubt, we've all had to believe, those that have been saved, have had to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He was born, that He died, and that He was resurrected. You've had to have heard it, and I know you've heard it. But it's a something this morning that I believe the world needs to hear. Again, it needs to be fresh upon our minds and our thoughts as we go into this season. It's a wonderful reason to celebrate. We celebrate all kinds of things. So surely to the good Lord above we can celebrate His birth and Him coming to save that which was lost. But I want to draw your attention to something in that 7th chapter, 7th verse of Isaiah in the 9th chapter. It says, "There shall be no end." So keep that in mind as we read in Luke in the 2nd chapter. "There shall be no end." But I do want you to keep that in mind from Isaiah. And I want to read some scripture for you in our lesson text, the 2nd chapter of the book of Luke. I guess this is probably one of the most well-versed scriptures as far, or well-spoken scriptures as far as this time of the year, but it's one that I believe must be read this morning. The 2nd chapter in the 1st verse, and it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was made first from Cyrenius, was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And there shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that had heard it wondered in the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And if we could take for a thought this morning, a title for this thought, this lesson, it would be Humble Beginnings, But a Glorious Heritage. You may ask what that may mean, and I believe each and every one of us know the story, I'd ask that you would please maybe hear it for the first time. Listen as though we've never heard it. But I read for you in the Old Testament how the Isaiah, the prophet, how he prophesied that there would be somebody that would come. He told in the ninth verse there, in the ninth chapter, in the sixth verse, he said, for unto us a child is given. And I want you to think about what people must have heard when they heard that prophecy. And now they were probably thinking, well, you know, there's going to be a child born to a king or some great dignitary. How he'll be raised up in the royal family, and how he'll be king, and how he'll be the one that will save the world, no doubt. Many people had listened and they'd heard Isaiah prophesy these things, and they had wondered, when is this king going to get here? When is the Savior going to come for all? And if I told you this morning that something was going to happen years and years down the road, and I didn't give you any specific dates, you'd be sitting and wonder maybe how long it would take for it to actually happen. And no doubt those that were listening to Isaiah, no doubt they kept thinking, you know, we've heard about this child and how he's going to be wonderful. How he's going to do wonderful things. They call him the Prince of Peace. You know, they were wondering when he was going to get there. And we go on many, many years, and many people had prophesied. We read about Micah this morning in Sunday school, and how he prophesied that there would be somebody born in the little town of Bethlehem. We've all heard the song sung, and we've all heard it mentioned in our lives about the little town there. You think about where Jesus Christ was born. He wasn't born in some great city. He wasn't born in Jerusalem or one of these big cities that you might think that a king would come out of. But he comes out of the little town of Bethlehem. The city of David, the Bible tells us. How he would come as the lineage of David. But he goes back, and if we were looking at this purely today, we would think that maybe he would be born in some place like New York City. Some place wonderful, some place grand. But he came in very humble beginnings. The Savior that I have didn't come maybe with his regal robes, and he didn't come in a great palace, but he came as a baby, born in a manger. Now it said that he would be a child. So I know that they were expecting some child to be great. They weren't looking for this child. The world wasn't looking for this child. If we look at who Joseph was, they say he was a carpenter. We think about Mary. Well, she wasn't much, but the Lord found favor with her. That's what the Bible tells us if we read over the first chapter. And how she magnified the Lord through her song and her prayer. If you want to kind of give a parallel to that, and how she prayed for this child that God was going to give her, you just look back at how Hannah prayed. Oh, the prayers between Hannah and Mary are very similar. They knew that the sons that they had been given were going to be given for something far greater than just being their little boys. They knew that. They knew that something far greater was going to happen to them. And I want you to think about that this morning. As we read, it said, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now here she was, a virgin. And we know what that means. We know the ramifications of that time. And had she been had this child out of wedlock, but God made it happen. in a way that she was still a virgin when Jesus Christ was born. And I'm thankful that it's that way. I'm thankful that that's the truth. We know that Mary would have been probably stoned. She would have been mocked and made fun of. But she was a good lady. Now I want to make mention of this. I believe that Mary was a wonderful lady. But Mary had Christ, and that's exactly where her duty stopped. She was a wonderful woman. Wonderful lady. But she doesn't deserve honor and glory this morning. She had the baby, and that's what her duty was. And once she did that, I believe that she was probably very happy with herself. It says it was her firstborn son. Now, can you imagine those that have had children this morning? How happy you were when you had your firstborn. Oh, it was your first child. Maybe it's your only child. Oh, and how you loved them. Maybe you have a niece and our nephew that you love really well. And how you loved them. Oh, but can you imagine this morning, Mary, and how she felt? Now, there's a song as I was growing up. Mom used to sing it to me. I wonder how Mary felt. Why, she knew just exactly what was going to happen with this little baby boy. She knew just exactly who she'd been given. She knew all about it. She knew that he was coming for something far greater. But here we go down to the city of Bethlehem. Oh, and what a wonderful thing that it was. I think about it from time to time, and I'm going to tell you humble beginnings. There's something great about God coming or Jesus coming very humble. Because I want you to know and understand something this morning. Had he came as a royal king, as he came as Herod's son or somebody great like that, he may not have looked down upon me so favorably. But he came as a humble little child. I've thought about this many times. How humble it must have been for Mary. Why, here they get up and they leave their town of Nazareth. And if we know anything about the geography there, we know that Nazareth or Galilee, where they were, it was about 90 miles north of Bethlehem. So they had a pretty good little journey that they had to make. And contrary to popular belief, they didn't own Honda Accords and things of that nature back then. So they had to travel by their feet or by their animals. There was no great way to travel back then. But here they go. Mary going to have this child, and they set out for Bethlehem, knowing that Joseph was going to be taxed in his own city. If we know anything about Bethlehem, we know that David, King David, grew up there. That was the city that he grew up in. So we think about this. Joseph was of the lineage of David. And here comes Jesus, going to be born in Bethlehem where David was. So you see that when he talks about in the prophecy of how it would come as David's lineage, we know that it is because of Joseph being the heir apparent, the father that was supposed to be for Jesus, his stepfather, as most people would say today. Now, there's physically no blood relation with Joseph, but he was his father. And I believe he was still proud of him. And I believe he still loved him. I believe that when he was born, he was just as proud of Jesus as Mary was. Because I believe she let him in on it. I believe she knew that this baby boy was going to be great. But here we get down to Bethlehem, and this is where it gets really, really good. And it says, she brought forth her firstborn son. Now she had been, it doesn't say how long that she'd been in Bethlehem. It doesn't say how long they had stayed there, but I want to make this mention here. She brought forth her firstborn son. Now, you just imagine those that have had children bringing forth your firstborn son. And you going into Bethlehem and there being no place for you to sleep or to find refuge from the elements or anything like that, and you've just had this baby boy. Precious little baby boy. Well, and I guess maybe that as they got to Bethlehem, they looked out for a place to stay while they were going to be there. They knew that Mary was going to have this child, so they needed some place to get in out of the rain. Maybe what was taking place, maybe a storm, maybe something like that. But you and I would want some place to take our newborn child in out of the elements. We sure would. And so no doubt they went searching, and it says there was no room for them in the inn. No room for them. Well, I guess as they were coming to be taxed, there were a lot of people traveling this way. No doubt many people had gotten there before they had. But guess what? No room for them. No room, and she's going to have this little boy. So where did they have to go? went down to a little stable, and some people have refuted this. They have said that it wasn't exactly what we think it is, but I'm going to tell you something this morning. I believe our Savior was born in a very humble manner. I don't believe it was like me. I was born down here in the Baptist hospital. I guarantee you it was probably some of the best technology they had at the time. 1993 has been a long time ago, so I guarantee you some of the stuff has changed. But at that time, it probably had the very best that there was. But not my Savior Jesus. He was born, and it says she brought him forth in swaddling clothes. Now, can you just imagine what Mary must have looked like as she brought forth that little son, that little boy, and she had wrapped him up, and guess where she had to lay him? Down in a manger. Just an old, maybe a trough or something of that nature, but something that you and I would lay our children in. But here she did. She had to lay our Savior, Jesus Christ, down in a little manger. Oh, and we don't know the things that took place. You know, a lot of nativity scenes today, they'll have animals that'll be around. I don't know if there were animals. But what I do know is there was a manger there that my Savior laid down in first. Now, I don't know about the rest of you all this morning, but that sounds like a very humble beginning to me. That sounds like something that, as we look around today, somebody would probably call CPS and get the parents taken away because it may sound like child abuse. But guess what? I seen this the other day, but that little manger was the first king-size bed. Hallelujah, and thank the Lord that he was born and he had a place to lay his head. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Had he not came, had he not been born, there'd be no hope for us. You know, I hear people all the time, and I've preached this, that if Jesus hadn't died on Calvary, that there'd be no hope for us. Guess what? Had he never been born, there would have never even gotten to Calvary. So I'm thankful this morning that he was born. You know, you think about the people in the world today, and we had this discussion a little bit in Sunday school and how people today don't believe in Jesus Christ. They don't even believe that he was born. And then there are those today that I believe that Jesus was born, but they don't believe that he was who he says he was. I'm so thankful that my king didn't come wrapped in the best purple fine linen that there was. He came in swaddling clothes. He came in a manger. Now you may say, preacher, what is the significance in that? What does it matter that he was born like that? I'm going to tell you something this morning as we all reach the age of accountability. Every single one of us must come to the Lord in repentance and faith. I'm going to tell you what that means. It means that every person that has been saved or ever will be saved must humble themselves down before an almighty king. You know, I've told you this, and I know you've heard it, but there's not a person that comes to the Lord with pride in their heart and gets saved. The significance behind this humble beginning is that he saw me when I came as a child before him. He knew all about being humble. Here he was, the King, the Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, how he'd been born there in Bethlehem, little old Bethlehem. And here he was, born in a manger. The King, the Savior, your Savior, my Savior, was born in a manger in the little town of Bethlehem. Now can you imagine in 2016, if somebody like Isaiah made the prophecy that somebody was coming to save the world while the world would be in an uproar? Well, they'd have it on CNN, Fox News, ABC News, CBS before we could all get out of this church. They'd be saying, guess what? They're saying a king is coming. We better get ready. He's going to be born as a child, so they'd be looking at all of the royal people in the world. They'd be saying, well, which line of the family is it going to come out of? That's where they would look. And that's where people are looking today. You know, the Jews, back in this time, they were looking for a great king. They were looking for somebody different than Jesus was. But I'm so glad this morning that he came the way that he did. The Jews may not believe it. The world may not believe it. But I'm so glad that I believe it and that I know it to be the truth. But I told you today, why CBS News, CNN, Fox, while they would have a little ticker down at the bottom and it would probably be called something like King Watch 2016. Why, a celebrity, they get married, or a royal family, they get married, and the whole world just goes into hysterics. They can't get enough of it. While we look for great things in this world, We look for big things. We look for great spectacles to take place. But guess what? The Savior of the world wasn't born in a spectacle. He was born in a quiet little town in Bethlehem. But if we were looking at it today, what can you imagine? They'd be counting down. They'd be saying, the prophecy was made this many years ago, so I guess He must be coming. And people would be looking. They'd be watching. Why, every now and then, especially around this time of the year, all you hear about is the presidential election. They'll stalk their lives and tell you everything that they do. Well, they'd be looking high and low. They'd be searching for anything they could to relieve on this Savior that was coming. Well, they'd be looking everywhere. And you know, sometimes things get out from under the media's nose. Sometimes things happen and they don't know about it. Oh, and guess what? Can you imagine how mad that they would have been? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe that Bethlehem had Fox News on 13. I don't believe they had a television set that the families gathered around in Nazareth and Judah or Judea and all of these places, and they watched the nightly news to see what was going on. But I'm going to tell you, while these people slept that night, the best day ever happened. And nobody even knew. While there wasn't a big trumpet sound, while there wasn't somebody rolling up in a big limousine, rolling out the red carpet. No. Can you imagine Bethlehem? They all went to sleep that night. Oh, well, maybe the next day they had their meeting with the tax of the publicans. Maybe they had to go over and pay their tax or their registration for the census. Maybe that was on their mind the next day. Oh, but can you imagine the parallel to today? Oh, people would be going every which way. Why, we live in a world that's so fast-paced that nobody slows down for anything. Oh, and you know what? Sometimes we go down to sleep and we've got the whole world on our mind. But I'm going to dare to say that this night was probably a little different than any night this world had ever known. Why, as these people went to bed, they had the next day on their mind and maybe they drifted off to sleep. While they had been working hard, no doubt, thinking about the next day, so they were asleep. Maybe some of them are still up. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell me all that. You may say, preacher, you're getting far out on a limb today, but I'm going to tell you what the truth is. The truth is that it was a very humble beginning for my Savior. I'm glad that it's that way. Because I'm thankful that the God I serve doesn't look down over me. He doesn't look down over me, and He doesn't rule over me with an iron fist, but He loves me. And the way that is because He knows all about being humble. He knows all about the humble birth. And I'm going to tell you, His death was a humble death as well. But as I told you, as this night went on, well, here they were. The time was here. The Bible says, in the fullness of time, the Savior shall come. While He's here. While we sing the song, peace on earth, goodwill to men. While these shepherds that were there, the angels came around them and they shone that great light. And we talked about in Sunday school how it might have scared them. Well, I'm guessing they were probably pretty excited. It probably made them nervous at first and they probably wondered what was going on, but they couldn't contain their excitement. They wanted to know what was going on. And they ran to find out. I believe they left in haste, as it says. And as they left, we said maybe they left their flocks. I'm going to venture out and say that they didn't care about those flocks. But they heard about the prophecy. They knew somebody was coming. And the angels just told them that He was there. Well, they go and they find this little boy wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's what the angel says. Go and find the babe that will be wrapped in swaddling clothes. And they go and find Him. And I guess as they left, they were so excited. They were so excited. The prophecy has happened. The King is here. And they wanted to tell everybody that they could. If we know the story, we know that old King Herod, he was as mad as he could be. He made out like he thought the baby being born. Well, he told the wise men, he said, when you find out, you let me know and bring him back here so I can worship him. But guess what old King Herod had in mind? He was going to take care of old Jesus. He's going to take care of this little baby boy. He's going to take care of him and wipe him off the face of the mat because he'd heard. He'd heard the prophecy. He knew that when he came that he would be called the Prince of Peace. He'd be called Wonderful Counselor. He knew all of that. He'd heard. If you'd have been living back then, you would have heard. Made King Herod just as scared as he could be. It would scare me to death probably as well. Somebody's going to try to come and take my kingdom away from me. Somebody's going to come and they're going to be more powerful than I am. Well, I guess when he heard that it was this little boy, I guess he thought, well, I have not a thing to worry about. I guess he thought, well, that little baby that's born, he has no power over me, and I can kill him and take his life, and then guess what? There'll be no king for him. Oh, but there were other plans. The wise men went away. They thought, they knew that trouble was coming. They knew something bad was going to happen. So they went away from Herod. They didn't go back to King Herod. And I'm so glad they didn't. I'm glad that a provision was made that Jesus could grow up. And you say, preacher, humble beginnings, a glorious heritage. What does that mean? You know, I've tried to expound upon the fact that Jesus being born was a very humble experience. I don't know where everybody here was born today, but I'm going to venture out to say that you and I were born in almost the Ritz-Carlton compared to where Jesus was born. Amen. Probably a whole lot better. Very humble beginning as we think about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What about this glorious heritage? You say, preacher, what does that mean? If we'll turn over to the first chapter of the book of Luke. First chapter of the book of Luke. And the 30th verse, we'll start there. First chapter of the book of Luke, 30th verse. And it says, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And this is the angel telling Mary that she had the child, that she was going to bear Jesus. And it says, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. You know, the king of this world, and I may have preached a sermon similar to this months ago. I was trying to think, and I thought, well, you know, it sounds very similar to that, but you know, God knows everything. And I thought about how this king was coming, and how the angel told, he said, the kingdom shall be no end. He was born in a manger, mind you. Now, today we have those stories that are called rags to riches story, how someone is born in poverty and how they make something out of their life and they grow up to do something great, and I believe that happens. But you think about this morning. Someone born in a manger in the little town of Bethlehem. Why, if people were looking on, the shepherds knew. They understood. The angels told them what had happened. But you think about the rest of the world as they go out and they say, guess what? The king has been born in Bethlehem. They'd have said, are you kidding me? Born in Bethlehem? Are you sure the little town of Bethlehem? That's where the king was born. The Savior was born. And they were so excited. I guess they didn't probably listen to what anybody else said. Yeah, he's born. So, and they go on to the next person. They begin to tell them. And guess what? Jesus begins to grow up. Now, I'm not sure the time span between all this. I didn't find that out this week. But I'm going to tell you something. I know that my Savior lived 33 and a half years. And I'm not going to try to preach an Easter message this morning. I promise I'll save that to the proper holiday. If the Lord will be our helper. I don't want to worry your patience. But what I do want to tell you is this. That as he was born, and as the shepherds went out, and as Jesus began to grow up, he began to do some wonderful things. Well, he would heal the blind, heal the sick, heal the lame. Well, he caused dead people to rise. Done all these things, and people heard about all the things that he would do. He was saving souls and blessing people right and left. And guess what? Word got out. You know, every time that Jesus would leave a group, he would say, but tell no one what I've done. Don't tell anybody. He didn't want the crowd around him. He didn't want everyone to know what was going on. He wanted people to know, but he didn't want people to find him out, because I know that you all know this as well. He knew that the Roman government during this time, while they were going to be jealous, because somebody else was going to steal their thunder, somebody else was going to come up, and they were going to be doing greater things than the Roman government would be. We talked about peace over here in the second chapter of Luke, and I read in the commentary on this Bible, and it said the peace that Christ brought was far greater, and I believe this to be the truth, was far greater and more beneficial to the world than the Pax Romana that had been made to bring peace to the nation or the empire of Rome and all of those things that were there within that great country, that empire. They had, I guess, made some kind of deal or some kind of thing that there would be peace among all of Rome. But guess what? This wasn't the kind of peace he was going to bring. And I believe very wholeheartedly this morning that a peace in Jesus Christ will bring peace to this whole entire world. It would extend far greater than just Rome. But as he began to do these things, people would take notice. And it says, his kingdom shall have no end. Well, we know that 33 and a half years was where it stopped here, his earthly reign. But guess what? It still hasn't stopped. It's been over 2,000 years. 2,000 and I guess 15 now. And his kingdom is still going on. People are still being saved. You think about coming from a manger, how it's still going on, how people are still worshiping this little baby boy born in a manger. They're still doing it. His kingdom shall have no end. I'm going to tell you, the world can stand 2,015 more. And I don't believe his kingdom will have an end. I don't believe that it will ever end. I believe God's kingdom, his heritage, will go on far greater, far more than just this world. Oh, I believe someday, and you can say, preacher, you've lost your mind, but I believe someday when we get to heaven, we'll fully understand everything and all about it. You know, there's a lot of things that I don't understand as being human and mostly uneducated for the most part, it feels like. But I know there's a lot of things that I don't understand. But I know someday I'm going to understand it all by and by. We know that. But I think about this little baby boy that was born in a manger. Oh, and I think about the reason that we're celebrating. And I'm going to try to wind down if the Lord be our helper. I think about the reason that we celebrate. You know, the world looks at us today like we are the craziest bunch of people that has ever been born. You know, I've heard the stories that all great stories like this, religions, they all begin in the same way. The virgin birth and so on and so on. But I'm going to tell you something. I've read some of those stories and I've read some of those things, and they hold no water compared to what my Savior started with. There's not a one of them that's more believable than this one. There's not a one of them that I would put more stock in because I believe the Savior that was born in Bethlehem. I'm thankful that he was. But I thought about over the last few weeks, you know, this year, I guess I've heard more people say Merry Christmas than I have in a very, very, very long time. When I worked in a grocery store, we weren't allowed to really say Merry Christmas. If they said it to you, you could say it back. But I'm thankful today for this little boy born in Bethlehem. Why? Can you just imagine? I want you mothers, maybe you aunts, maybe you sisters, you think about something the first time that you held your little baby. Whether it was a boy or a girl, it really doesn't matter. But you think about the first time that you held them. Oh, and how much love that you had for them. Oh, and can you just imagine being Mary and carrying this baby, knowing that he was going to be the Savior? Why, she didn't know what to expect. Why, I guess she probably thought we would grow up normal. And for all intents and purposes, I guess Jesus did grow up normal. I would guarantee you that he didn't do like a lot of us and back talk our parents. It says he never sinned. He didn't get in trouble. That's more than I can say for myself a lot of the times. Jesus was perfect. I believe his birth was perfect. Some people say they want to go into this detail about it and that detail about it and all this. I'm going to tell you, it was all predetermined before the Lord ever came. It all was made out the way that it was supposed to be. I'm thankful that it was. But you think about Mary holding that baby, wrapped up in that swaddling clothes. And I'm going to try to end if the Lord will be our helper. You know, he was wrapped tightly. That was the first time he'd been wrapped up. Wasn't the first time he'd be wrapped up, though. Wasn't the first time. But he was wrapped up in his swaddling clothes, and I guarantee she got it just as tight as she could. Oh, he was snug. Oh, he was probably just as comfortable as he could be. Oh, he probably had that wonderful little look on his face. Oh, so peaceful, so quiet, so serene. Oh, it was probably wonderful. I don't imagine that he cried much. I imagine he was probably a perfect baby. Probably just wonderful. I think about that this week, and I thought about, oh, if I could just see that little baby being born. Oh, and her laying in the manger, how wonderful it would have been.
But that's the first time we've been wrapped up. It was the first Christmas present, if you think about it. It's the first one wrapped up.
But think about this. That wouldn't be the only time that they would wrap the dear Savior up. And if you're lost today, I want you to think about this for just a moment. He was wrapped for the first time as he was born. But you know, he lived 33 and a half years, as I told you. At the end of his life, they nailed him to a cross. This little baby that was born for you and I. They nailed him to a cross, and guess what? Took him down off the old cross. And I believe Mary was there, and she had to watch her son that she'd born, that she'd had. Oh, they watched it. And I'm not trying to break your hearts this morning. This is Christmas season. I'm just telling you the truth this morning. But you know what? They take his body down, and they put it in the tomb, and guess what they did that last time? They wrapped him back up in the grave clothes. But guess what? After 3 days, they come back, and guess where they found those grave clothes? They found them, I guess, folded back. He didn't need them anymore. He was going back to heaven. He was going to ascend back in a few days, and he did not need those grave clothes. He did not need those swaddling clothes anymore. Lots of time had passed since he'd been born in Bethlehem. I'm going to tell you, those clothes, those fine linens that had been wrapped up and laid back in the tomb, guess what? That is the best part about this whole story, is that they found them wrapped back up. He didn't need them anymore. He came to seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen.
He came to save that which was lost. Today, you and I would probably think about having a baby born. Oh, it's precious. Oh, it's wonderful. But guess what? He came to fulfill the Father's will. He came to do that because somebody had to take the sin debt for you and I. No, we don't like to think about it, but I am so thankful that my Savior was born. As we go into this holiday season this next week, and we've got about 5 days to think about it, but I want you to think about this. As you get up on Friday, as you begin to be with your families this week, think about the Savior and His birth. If you've been saved by the grace of God, we should be able to thank the Lord for His birth, His life that He lived, His humble heritage. You know, if you're lost and undone without the Lord, you have got to come to the Lord with childlike faith. You've got to humble yourself before Him. And I'm glad that my Savior was a humble Savior. I'm glad that He has no reason. He has all the reasons in the world to look down on me and condemn me. But He says, I come not to condemn the world, because the world was condemned already. Had He not come, we'd still be condemned. But I'm so thankful that that little baby was born. I guarantee you it was precious. I guarantee you it was beautiful. Just as beautiful as it could be. I'm thankful for it. Maybe this Christmas story hasn't really gone the way that you thought it would go. I necessarily didn't think so either when I began to read it and began to think about what the Lord had given me. But humble beginnings, but a glorious heritage. It will last forever. I guess this is probably one of the first rags to riches story that there ever has been. And I'm going to tell you, this is the best one that there ever will be. I'm so thankful this morning. I want to read one more verse of Scripture. It's in the reading lesson. Because when He was born and the angels rejoiced, what a thought that is, that the angels rejoiced at our Savior's birth. It says in the 13th verse of the second chapter of the book of Luke, and it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Emmanuel," says, "God with us. Peace was on earth, and goodwill toward all men." We tell you this from time to time, and I believe it to be the truth. Salvation is peace with God. It's a peace that surpasseth all understanding.
Amen.
Here was peace on earth. While Bethlehem was sleeping, peace was brought to them. Oh, what a wonderful night that was. You know, we're going to go to sleep Thursday night on Christmas Eve. And we're all going to get up the next morning, and whatever your plans are, whatever your traditions are, whatever they have been or whatever they will be, remember this: without His birth, there'd be no reason to celebrate. We think about peace today, and every time you get around to the, I don't even know what it is, I had it on the tip of my tongue and now it's gone, but you hear the people that go around for the model thing, and they'll say, "What do you want? Peace on earth." Well, guess what? Peace is still on earth. It's still available for everybody that has ever been born or ever will be born. I'm thankful for that this morning. I'm thankful that I have that peace down in my heart,
When you get up on Christmas this year, if you've been saved by the grace of God, thank God for it. Be happy, be thankful for the peace that God has given you. I don't know what you all have asked for Christmas. That's none of my concern. But what I am thankful for and what you should be thankful for is the best Christmas gift that you could ever have was Him being born and being saved by the grace of God. May God bless you is our prayer, and I hope and pray that everyone has a fantastic and a merry, merry, merry Christmas this year. I hope and pray that you just have a wonderful week, and I just pray that God blesses you with health and happiness, and most of all, if you're lost, I hope you get saved before it's everlasting too late. While we stand and while we sing.